Today, I would like to especially welcome Corey and Don, who's our in-home listeners for the recording of our devotion today. The word of the Lord from Hebrews chapter 5. Every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As it says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our gospel proclamation is the passage from Hebrews chapter 5 that I just finished reading for you and serves as the basis of our theme for the fifth Sunday in Lent, His Eternal Kingdom. All of us have a favorite pastor we can talk about with anyone. They have that special skill to connect. They were particularly good with you as a youth, or they could preach the roof off any church they served in. And you know who that pastor is because you're thinking back to them right now. That special sermon that reached you when you needed it the most. That time they counseled you and your spouse when you thought the marriage was over. And that time they went with you on a retreat and you saw another side of them you never knew existed. And you loved them even more for it. You will never forget them. Now here, I'm pretty sure we all know that some of you are thinking about Pastor Gherkin for Faith Lutheran Church in Eustis in particular. I knew him too, so I do know what you're thinking about when you share his legendary stories. Some of you remember our district presidents too, like President Michael and President Walton, who were here for us as a congregation more times than we can count. Whoever that was, you know who they are, and you're enjoying those memories right now. For me, before I met Marcy, it was my confirmation pastor, Henry Fingerland. He was my original retreat pastor and all-around do-it-all pastor. And he was the exact same person whether we were in his primitive cabin up in the mountains of Colorado or leading worship from the old TLH red hymnal or just visiting with you in his study. He was actually the last pastor I counseled with before applying to go to seminary, as I wasn't sure I should. And he was the one that convinced me God said I could. God rest Henry's soul. After Marcy and I got married, and I think Marcy would agree, Pastor Frank Winter was the next legendary pastor we have never forgotten. He was definitely our preach the roof off pastor. His sermons are still ringing in my ears when I write my sermons, knowing I will never achieve his legendary status, no matter how hard I try. I'll never forget the first few years starting out in the ministry, Marcy criticizing me that I didn't get the veil on the communion elements as good as Pastor Winter did. It always made me smile when she said that, mostly because I knew she was right, and it reminded me of his attention to detail when he led worship. Today, I love this passage from Hebrews because it shows us nothing has changed in the church for 2,000 years. Just like we have legendary pastors in our lives, so the first century church had them as well. Verse 2 makes that clear, saying, he, that is the pastor, can deal gently with the ignorant and the wayward. And we have all seen that special pastor do that with people we loved and people that just needed a little forgiveness and redemption. They had a heart for the lost. They had a winsome way of drawing them in rather than needlessly berating them. They managed conflict well and concerned themselves with everyone involved. They realized their calling was to give you Christ and proclaim the gospel for the forgiveness of your sins rather than the condemnation of your soul. But Hebrews helps us to see the other side of the pastor as well. When we recognize they're not perfect, far from it, and they need a pastor too. In our beloved Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Policy Handbook is the instructions for pastors to seek out other pastors as well. We get together monthly to study, encourage one another, and partake of the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. This is the time for us to relax in the pew and receive whilst one of the brothers takes on that role of spiritual caregiver once a month. Because everything a pastor does, he needs done for him as much, if not more, than the people that he is called to care for. Verse 3 makes that clear. He is obligated to make sacrifices for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. You know, being a pastor these days is really hard. As well as being a Lutheran school teacher, a director of Christian education, a minister of music, a director of Christian outreach, and any other professional church work position. There are demands that are unreasonable. There are challenges that are insurmountable. And there are people that are unbearable. And that goes for church member and professional church worker alike. These challenges have made it harder than ever to get people to accept the call into the holy ministry as pastors, commissioned ministers, and what have you. I mean, just 20 years ago, we graduated seminary classes twice the size of the ones we have now. And 30 years before that, they were more than double the size of that. Many of us know the struggles related to that, but it is not just the struggle of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's across the board for all mainline denominations. That is how we know it is not a culture problem. Rather, it is a Christ problem. We can no longer say we just don't do a good job of reaching out cross-culturally. If that was the case, black and brown congregations should have surpassed us in numbers. And they've not. They're struggling too. It's no longer the fact that we abuse workers or don't pay them enough. Pension funds and pay is better than it ever was in the past, and churches are better equipped than they ever were to care for their church workers. It isn't even that we don't have enough young people to recruit to come into the ministry. Church youth populations are sufficient to keep the schools full and churn out all the workers we need. Again, it is not a culture problem. Rather, it was the same problem as in the day of the writing of the letter to the Hebrew Christians. It is an over-reliance on men who lead the church rather than the God-man who died and rose from the dead to save the church. Now, I think we've all been there. And my experience with Christians from other denominations bears this out. Number one, we rarely go to the church that resides geographically in our immediate community. Rather, we pick one with a style of worship we prefer. The pastor who preaches the roof off. The people who make us feel like family. Not that any of that is unimportant, but it should never be more important than how they proclaim Christ crucified for the forgiveness of their sins. And number two, we leave the church when our pastor fails us and proves to be a sinner that needs forgiveness, just like we do. This is often in the context of them unknowingly, or sometimes even knowingly, offending something near and dear to us. As a supervising circuit visitor, I've heard more than once that it isn't what some pastors say, it's how they say it. And even when I tried to nail down false doctrine proclaimed or the unrepentant sin committed or the dereliction of duty that was happening, it's rarely, if ever, about that. It's simply they don't like their pastor and feel another church would be best for them. And I've watched some of those same people bounce from church to church to church until they didn't go to church at all, undoubtedly finding offense with other pastors as well. Let me be clear. I'm not judging them. I just know them because I have been them too. I didn't like the pastor in some congregations, so I moved on as well, even from the Lutheran Confession of Faith for a time. There we all go by the grace of God. Today, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Hebrews comforts us with the reality that we have a high priest that has none of these problems or inclinations. A man that is God in our midst that can and should be the focus of everything we do. Because he's the only one that can advocate for our redemption because of what he alone can do. You know, they say you never want to get to know your heroes because you won't like them when you do. Sometimes this is exceptional, but for those we have really built up in our minds to be flawless paragons of character, really getting to know them can be very disappointing. My experience in life is this is basically true. I noticed almost without fail that I dislike actors, politicians, and even pastors when I realize their public persona is more a facade than favorably familiar. And every time I hear an interview with an actor, and why this surprises me makes little sense, as I should know better, but I realize, he's just a regular jerk like me. Why did I have such admiration for him? And then I checked myself because I realized I like the character, not the man. I was impressed with the role, not the one fulfilling the role. It's like we learned and often said in the military, I respect the rank, but not the man. You know, I prepare people all the time to be disappointed with me, especially when they've said, I expected that from other people, but not from you, Pastor. And those of you that know me well know that my quick reply is, it's not the first time I've been mistaken, and I assure you, it will not be the last. For there is only one first and last that never made a mistake and never will. There's only one preacher that never fails to blow the roof off the church every time he speaks. There's only one man that loved you enough to die for you and showed he was God by rising from the dead to prove he was worth trusting, living for, and even dying for, should it be required. And he's the forever friend in Jesus that we have to the end. He is the ultimate high priest in the order of a simple man in King Melchizedek. That is the king that will forever rule us. And this king will take care of us and love us in his eternal kingdom. Amen. Now may that peace which surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus always. Amen.